friends, welcome to today's podcast. I have a special duty in the studio. Woo-hoo. Hello, Stella.
It's me, back again.
This is Stella's first time on any podcast, I think.
Yeah.
We are graced with your presence today.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome.
Thank you. You guys might have remembered last week's video, if you're in the video tier, where I kind of just put out there when Stella was voiceovering, if you had any questions that you might want to hear us discuss, to leave them in the comments. So we just took a couple of those. We're going to have a chat today. There's no real overriding message of this podcast. We're just going to
chat,
banter away for however long we can.
So hopefully you're doing something other than just listening to this.
Find something to do.
Journal book, please.
Journal book, please. That's what Stella still
draw
thinks
a picture
this is
of
called.
Me. Something that's called journal booking. Art journaling.
So we kind of get to start with the makeup, because I think that's what people are excited to hear you talk about. Let's just recap how all of that happened, because I remember being in Umami Burger and you suddenly coming out of nowhere saying, you know what, I'm ready.
I'm going to just do makeup, guys.
I'm just going to do it. Because you'd been doing it.
I was doing my own face and just like posting pictures on Instagram, just kind of like filling myself. Mm-hmm. And then somebody from high school hit me up and she was like, hey, I love your makeup. I want you to do my makeup for my wedding. And I was like, oh, girl, I don't do makeup. And she was like, no, like I still want you to do my makeup. And I'm like, no, I don't even have the tools or like a kit or like anything. And she's like, okay, well, like, think about it. And that was like a year before her wedding. And then I just like that kind of, I don't know, gave me momentum to just be like, maybe I can do this. So then I did like my first wedding of like one of my best friends, like did it for free because I was like, what if I mess up? And then after I did that, it was just like a really cool feeling. And then like I posted those pictures on my Instagram, and then I had like my first like random client, which I'm sure like you know that, James, when you get like your first random person that like wants something of yours,
yeah,
you're like, oh, I think this is like legit.
Yeah.
And so then,
well, first you freak out.
Yeah.
And you think, like, do they know that I'm not real?
Yeah, do they know that it's just like, it's just me like using what I know.
Like, here's my extensive resume, my face and one other face.
And one person who also was not very picky and just kind of let me do whatever I wanted.
Also, we have to put out there that you were very blessed to be doing makeup on a lot of beautiful faces.
Oh my goodness. I think I was really spoiled in the beginning.
Yeah.
And not to say like, I mean, it, like,
everyone's beautiful.
Everybody is, yes.
But
absolutely.
Some faces are easier to work on.
Truly. Like, I love when I'm at the MAC store and like a 13-year-old comes in. I'm like, oh yeah, sit in my chair.
Yeah.
You've got no sun damage or wrinkles.
I know. Honestly, I guess we could compare it to, you know, using nice paper. Sometimes your watercolor doesn't want to be on copy paper.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes you need a watercolor paper for that. I don't want to get off on the wrong foot, and now I feel like we've told everyone they're ugly.
No, absolutely not.
I think what I'm trying to get at is that you had so much experience with your skin type, with your coloring, with how your eyes look. Because, I mean, eyes being their own canvas is a
thing. They're so different. And I think, like, that's been, like, the best part, is just, like, learning how to do makeup on different colors of skin and, like, you know, eye shapes and lip shapes and, you know, skin tone, skin texture. Like, it's just, it's crazy, like, how many people come in and it's just so different. And, like, color matching is, like, super huge. I know someone asked a question about that, like, how they can color match, or what was the, someone I had a question.
We've got a few questions here. I'm going to skip back to we were in Umami Burger and you wanted to start a YouTube channel. And it was around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I just was like, yeah, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. And I literally,
and then,
like,
if you're with Steve, I mean, Steve's going to tell you to do anything
Steve was like, yes.
He'd be like, go for it, Stella. Get the best camera you can get.
I know.
It's Thanksgiving sales.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I bought my camera on Black Friday. And I remember Steve being in the break room at Disney. We're like, you know, on our lunch break. And I was like, Steve, is this a good camera? And he was like, yes. Like, you know, da da da. And it was like on a Black Friday sale. So I bought like this whole camera kit on a credit card. Like a
ring light.
I bought like literally everything on this like Black Friday sale. And then I was like, all right, like, this is holding me accountable because I'm going to have to like pay this off. And then I just started making YouTube videos. My first video is trash.
Girl, same.
And you know what was really sad is I didn't realize, well, Steve gave me really good advice because like the megapixel, everything was really great, but I didn't realize that I needed like a turnaround viewfinder so I can see myself in the camera. Mm. So like one of my first videos I ever filmed, I wasn't even in focus or in the shot because I couldn't see what I was filming. And so I had to scrap like my actual first video because it was just blurry. And I was like, dang it, I wasted all this time. And I was like, can I even do this? And so my first few videos I actually filmed on that camera, and then I ended up having to get another one because I just couldn't see myself, and like the autofocus was so messed up. Like there's just so many things you don't even realize about like editing and like, you know, like my, it's so funny, like if I compare like my videos now to like the video that I first posted, I was like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing, but I want to leave it up there because I think that you need to see like your journey and like how far you've come, you know,
when
like,
you're really feeling good, it's great to go back and watch the start and see where you've come and just be grateful that you've moved
like,
forward.
Like my eyebrows have had a journey, like even in, it's not, like I would say like your skill gets so much better, even like for me it's like weekly my skills get better, like and I'm sure it's the same with art, and like it's true, like it's so like lame to say like practice makes perfect, but it really does. Like if you're actually practicing, like you're gonna get so much better,
because nobody starts any career or goes into any industry knowing everything that you need to know,
and
you're always learning, especially I mean in makeup your trends come and go so quickly. As soon as you've learned what one eyebrow should look like, we're on to the next one.
They're like, no, bushy eyebrows, it's a thing.
Psych, we want all the hairs back now.
Like putting a lace front wig on my eyebrows, they sell those, look it up.
Do they really?
They sell like brow, like lace brow wig type of things, and basically
you just glue them on.
Yeah, you glue them on like you would a wig, and it's kind of amazing. I feel like that'd be really good for some people that just like can't grow brows and don't want to get them microbladed. Yeah, it's
I think
like
I have seen that.
It's
I,
like your brow. It's like the bushiness of your eyebrow, and you could just
it's meant to be trimmed
for 4 easy installments. $29.95.
Look, there's a product for everything out there. But so you were you started basically the instant YouTuber kit and went for that, and you wanted to. You wanted to do makeup freelance and then go straight into segueing, because I guess we've never really said this before, but you worked at Disney with Steve.
Yeah.
And that's how you guys met. Mm-hmm. And then I met you through Steve.
Through Steve, yeah.
Years ago. And so that's how we're all connected.
Yeah.
But you were looking to start this new career and leave behind your legacy at Disney and move into makeup. And that is a scary transition.
Scared. Lots of crying.
I mean, we fully believed that you could do it because we were also working closely together. You know, Steve was shooting the wedding that you were doing the makeup for.
Yeah.
And so we were also kind of helping build your portfolio.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And she left off the page.
Yeah, that's what I say about like whenever I'm like, I just think about like my pictures and stuff. I'm like, all of my portfolio is Steve's pictures. And like, you guys have both been so supportive and just like truly just like believing in me. And like, also I love how they like will clock me and they'll tell me like, oh no, try this. Especially Steve, like more, I think like James is always like so constructive, and where I feel like Steve, and I'm not even hating on Steve, but I love this. I love this about Steve, because when I do makeup and he's there, he goes, add this, make, can you do this? And he's like, it's just going to photograph better.
Well,
and
yeah, like, he knows what happens in editing and what gets washed out.
And honestly, that is such good advice for me to have when I'm freelancing on weddings where he's not shooting the wedding. I literally, like I did a wedding this past weekend, and I was like, she needs more blush. Like, what would Steve, like he would say she needs more blush for the picture so she doesn't look washed out. Yeah. And then like also like the bride that I did, like her sister was taking the picture. So it was just like, she's not like super professional photographer. So like I feel like Steve can go in and like edit some blush on somebody, but like I don't think she would. So
because in that situation you are doing the face, but the photographer is responsible for capturing that memory, but a bride will look back at her face and think of you. Not necessarily
absolutely.
That oh, the photographer changed something in editing. And even now with editing being so fully processed, you can change, and I've seen Steve do this before. He's put a preset on something or he's changed color levels and suddenly the face has shifted.
Yeah.
And if there's an undertone in some specific makeup, flashback in some specific makeup, it's a very tricky area that you need to, a lot of research and time and effort and unfortunately failed attempts
goes into it. Yeah.
And so we've loved watching that with you. Also, I've loved getting your makeup services for myself. It was mutually beneficial, believe me.
I really do want to do like your makeup now that I'm like more skilled. I like just want to like give you the full glam,
just
beat
the
down.
Full beat down.
Yeah.
So this all happened, and then you wanted to fully segue into makeup and approach MAC Cosmetics.
And I think because like the thought process behind that was, if I'm gonna quit Disney is this like $1 billion company, like they, you know, it's a good place to work for. I've also like worked for Apple, like I've worked for these huge companies, and I'm like, what's a big company that I would feel like fully comfortable like segueing into? And when I thought of makeup, I thought, oh, MAC. Like, and I feel like a lot of people do. It's such an iconic brand, and like I feel like everybody has their MAC, their first MAC story. Like,
yeah.
I went and got my makeup done. I went and got, you know, for prom or like. And for me, that like my first MAC experience actually happened when I was like 20. And it was like a lot later in life, because like when we were younger, I couldn't afford that. I couldn't afford
Girl,
to go.
Same.
I couldn't afford to go get my makeup done. And
I could afford a free sample.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm like, oh, you do like half of my face. And I just remember like the feeling that I felt like when I was there, and it was so cool. I had a guy do my makeup, and I've never, you know, and it was at the time where I'm like, oh, I didn't even know like guys like did makeup. Like how like simple thinking of me. But you know, I was just there, and I was like, wow, this guy made me feel so beautiful. And like while I was there, he was teaching me. He was like, okay, like you want to highlight and contour. Like that was like not really a thing when I was 20. It was like the highlighting and contouring, which was only like what, 6 years ago. And he's like, so you want to do this and then highlight this part of your face, like fully teaching me like in a Nordstrom like how to do my makeup, and then also like just making me feel so like beautiful like afterwards. And I'm like, that's a really good company to work for. Like I want to work for them and like make people feel that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like even in the artist world, like even like as like an like if someone who's an actor or whatever, like if they're like out here auditioning and like doing stuff, they still need like a steady income. And that's kind of like what Disney was for me, you know. It's like it's a steady income, and you're able to still like do other stuff. And that's kind of how I was feeling about makeup. I'm like, okay, well, MAC will be my income, and then I can still freelance like on the side, which is what I've been doing, which has been so fun.
Yeah,
like that's been like the coolest part. And I just really never thought I could like do it. I feel like you know, like you think like, oh, I can do something, but then I, you know, I was so like just not where I should be like skill wise when I actually went in to interview for MAC. I didn't think that, just knowing what I know now, I'm like, wow, I really like wasn't that skilled. And, and they like still, you know, like took me, and like now it's just like I'm very confident in like my skill. And I think that's been the hardest part about being self-taught, is I do work with a lot of people that have gone to cosmetology school, have gone to all these, you know, makeup schools that cost so much money. And I feel like, you know, dealing with that like self-doubt is like hard, but I just kind of had to be like, okay, like get over it, because you're working here,
you're here now.
You know, you're here now.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because we actually talked about that, I think, in the first podcast about imposter syndrome and why in a day like our modern age where we get to experience all the benefits of online learning and self-taught, you know, career paths, like we don't seem to value our own teaching ourselves as much as we would going to a cosmetology school, even though we might learn exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And kind of just running in with that blind faith, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to do it,
just gotta do it.
Like in dancing, strong and wrong.
Oh my god, yeah. That's my life.
Completely convicted that you're going, convinced that you're going to do it, and you will just make the best of it.
Yeah. Oh my god, they always say that when at Disney. They're like, oh, it was wrong, but it was strong.
Yeah. You want to make a bold choice when you're going to go wrong. Just so you know exactly how to not do that again.
Exactly.
I think it all kind of happened. You also bring up an interesting point in that it was a steady job that you were looking for, not just you know, some aspirational career path to work towards, because there is a big difference in living in California. It is extremely expensive to live anywhere. We both live in Southern California in Orange County. It's a very expensive place just to live. And you know, when you're going into career paths that are kind of shaky, and I'm not gonna say kind of, they're just risky.
Oh no, they truly are.
Freelancing,
I'll say that
anything
to everybody. It's a
small
risk.
Business,
yeah, it's totally
super risky. You kind of need a support network to A, tell you that you can do it.
Yeah.
And B, be there for you when you fall on your face and have no idea where you're going to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I really love to at least try and be for you. And you that for me.
Yes.
So this was one of the things that came up. We're going to go into the questions.
Yeah,
Encouraging your friends and, you know, and helping them in their, you know, career paths, their journeys of artistic expression, and what that's like. So I'm just going to say that Stella's been around. She's been a homie for a while, but when Stella wanted to do her YouTube, start YouTube, I thought, that's really fun. I'm going to watch her do that. I want to be in some of her videos, and I want to help do whatever she's doing over there, mm-hmm. because I truly believe that that would be fun. I used to make videos mm-hmm. in high school with my friends.
Oh my God,
and yeah, I would just get on iMovie. I'm still on iMovie, just doing my little edits. Honestly, all that stuff I did in high school really paid off right now.
Using the camera that comes on the yeah. laptop.
The little photo booth camera on the MacBook. That's what I would use.
Zero megapixels.
Also, I made a full... I'm just going to slot this in here. I'm very proud of myself. I won my school's short film festival.
Oh, that makes sense.
And the short film was America's Next Top Model. Should also point out I can't do an American accent to save my life. Not only did I play one, I played two female models in this short film. I also shot it and directed it.
To see this video, we'll add another tier to Patreon.
This is it.
It's a one-time view.
It's a one-time viewing party, like a special event. No,
I need to see that.
It's so bad. And honestly, I think we just won because it was just truly the funniest thing.
Oh my God, I love it.
Because we didn't take any of it seriously.
Like, oh, it's a comedy. And you're like, wow, we're very serious. But yes, it's a comedy.
No, I actually thought I looked so hot in those photos as a woman.
Oh my God, I would love to
playing top model. All that to say that all of that experience that I had during high school videos, I took into now, and I thought I could help you with that.
Yeah,
and,
totally have.
I was on that design team. I was on the Devon party at the start of the year, and Jane had asked if I could unbox all the stuff.
Right.
And I was thinking, I'm just going to ask Stella if I can borrow her little camera setup and see if we do that. And I ended up setting everything up and filmed my first YouTube video, and I thought, well, I guess Stella and I could go on this journey together.
And James is like 50,000 subscribers in. I'm like, I got like four people.
Literally never.
Amazing.
You know, that kind mm-hmm. of... If Stella hadn't decided that she could just boldly go and do it, I wouldn't
have
decided that I had done
that.
So
you're welcome, everybody. I'll be taking 10%. I am the Kris Jenner.
Yeah, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
So that was really fun for Stella to have first inspired me to do that, but then for us to grow in that together, we would get on the phone to each other, talk about our struggles. We had no idea what we were doing. We kept on telling everyone, like, as soon as we start getting like lots of public hate, we'll know we've made it.
Yeah,
so,
I'm still waiting for it.
Still waiting for all that.
Yeah, still waiting for hate.
But it was such a fun experience to go through together. And then we started trying to figure out ways we could merge our worlds together. And mm-hmm. She Leapt Off the Page was the first project where we did that.
That was so fun.
Where we thought, like, you know, Stella might be up for the challenge to bring this page to life.
Yeah, that was so scary.
and we collaborated on that, and you got some shots for your portfolio.
Yeah. People still love those pictures too. Like, every once in a while I'll bring like my portfolio with me, and they're like, wow, this is so cool. Like, what is this? I'm like, we shot it in a living room. So
yeah.
That's how high end I can make you look.
It's a very serious shoot we did in a living room. But
it was so fun.
You know, it's not for nothing, but your portfolio that you made actually got you into Mac.
Yeah.
So here we are. Yeah, well, we could laugh and kiki about all this all we want, but this, you know, these small steps, as insignificant as they might seem, really do build a bigger picture as to how to move forward.
Truly.
And I think underlying all of the actual, you know, the projects we did and, you know, the stuff that we ended up creating together and the stuff that we still, you know, plan on mm-hmm. doing, underneath all of that was this just desire to see the other person succeed.
Oh my God, yeah. That's exactly how I feel. I'm like, I want to see my friends just, like, go and get it and go after it. And, like, and if they do fail, then, like, you're still there to, like, help and support them and, like, you know, buy them McDonald's. Like, I feel like that's what we do.
Yeah,
like, if something doesn't go right.
Bad, the McDonald's is coming over.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, like, I'll go get McDonald's. I'll get, like, a 40-piece nug. Okay, like, let's make it an 80-piece and, like, we'll talk about our problems.
We have to phone in the cheeseburger order.
Oh my God, like, yeah. 100. Postmates.
that's been the nicest part is to know that, you know, there's a support network here that I had before we even started all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Someone that knows you before you've decided to embark on this new career path.
Yeah.
So that they can also bring you back to where you started.
Yeah.
That's super important.
That's so important. I feel like you and Steve do that for me all the time. Because, like, if sometimes I'm, like, hard on myself, I'm like, dude, I don't know what, like, I'm doing. Or, like, I just, like, feel, like, in a weird place about it. They're both like, okay, like, just remember you started makeup, like, last year. Like,
yeah.
You know, just remember that. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a badass. Like, you know, like, you have to, like, just kind of, like, check yourself. And then that's why, like, I love having you guys as friends, because you guys are just so supportive in that way. Where, like, I don't get that from my family. So it's cool to get it from like your friends, you know, that are like, hey, like I'm here to support you. Cause I feel like, I don't know if it's like this for your family, but my family's like, oh yeah, like she does makeup. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I work for like a really huge makeup brand, but whatever, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I just do makeup, you know? So I think your friends are there to be like, no, like we are going to like validate you and like in your career and like all this stuff. So like, I feel like you guys have been like huge cheerleaders in the cute little cheerleader.
Ironic, cause you're a cheerleader.
Former cheerleader.
You were a former cheerleader.
Cannot bend in that way anymore.
With the bows and the knee brace.
Oh my gosh, I remember that. I was like, I really do have an injured knee.
Yeah, no, that's, I think it's super important because I guess we want to just impart you with a bit of advice or wisdom here. And please take it with a grain of salt, as with all of our internet opinions.
Right.
But from the journey that we've had so far since, you know, both of us sitting in Umami Burger just discussing about what we think we're going to tackle in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're sitting on the edge of like what we both now consider our full-on career paths.
Jobs, like career.
We started supporting ourselves doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We've made plans on it. We're banking on the success of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think when you really start to take stock of yourself and where you're at and where you're going. And I think one of the most valuable pieces I've had in that puzzle was a support network underneath all of it.
Yeah.
And you guys don't even know where that support network stops. I mean, Stella doesn't just come over and help me ship Etsy orders sometimes. Stella's on the phone to me at like 1 o'clock in the morning or sitting on the couch eating McNuggets, telling me that it's okay that some people don't like what you're doing or that, you know, don't worry, that person's just upset. It's not about you. It's not the truth. I mean, she's talking me off a ledge every single time. I'll be real here. Every single time I get tempted to quit.
Yeah.
You don't want to,
mm-mm.
but we're all human and we're all going to get to that place where we second guess ourselves.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And if you have people constantly telling you like, or just like telling you like, oh, you're terrible or like what you're doing like sucks. Like you start to really like doubt yourself. Like there's been times like I don't get like a lot of hate, but like there's like some people like on YouTube or like, or just even like makeup applications that I've done at MAC and like the people like just fully tell me how terrible I am. And you're just like, am I even meant to be doing this? And then I'll come over and they're like, no, like that's all that person's problem. Like,
yeah.
And that's so true though.
Like, you've had a particular repeat client that the store knows as being a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just outside of your control what you can
truly do. It's like, it truly is like that saying, like, it is not me. Like, it is you.
Yeah.
Like, you are the problem, you know? And like, it's nice to have friends to like, just be like, no. Like, this is what's really like going on.
Yeah.
Like, you're good.
And then at times where you need to reevaluate and refocus, I think that's also good to have friends because they know personally where you're coming from with a lot of professional issues. I like to keep them completely separated, and you're a lot like that too.
Same.
And I think that goes into, you know, our Disney experience and how we approach customer service.
Oh my god, yeah.
Which is its own topic that we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, we were really talking about that earlier.
the way that, you know, you need to separate that stuff, and then I think the best part about having a friend do it, and a friend that has been invested from the beginning, is that they know where you started at, and they know how to reset you back to zero.
Truly.
Because that's where you need to get back to every time.
You just gotta be that friend, too. Like, just remember where you started.
Yeah.
Like, just remember, like, you were doing makeup on yourself.
Yeah.
You were drawing on probably like bad paper. I don't know what the equivalent is.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, I had, I love when I send you that, we made these stupid memes. we were in the middle of a meme war back around Christmas time, 2016. If I need to check Stella, I'll just send her one
just
of them.
Yeah, just sends the meme, and I'm like, oh my god, yes, right, I love this.
But we'd rarely need to do that, actually, because you're a very confident person, you're very skilled, you're very talented, and you have really made a go of it for yourself, which is so exciting. And I think the, you know, beyond all the support that a friend could give, the best part is you get to share it with someone.
Oh my gosh.
We've been watching YouTube series at the moment about, and it's very controversial.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
It's a guy called Shane Dawson. He's like OG YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently doing a series on Jeffree Star.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things, Stella and I have been watching this, screaming to each other over the phone.
James called me and I was like, oh my god, I missed your call, but I think I know what it's about. And we literally were just like chatting about this. You guys should go watch it. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It
but
is so good.
I'm always trying to learn. I'm trying to learn
same,
something.
Yeah.
He built an empire and, you know, I'm
same,
about to do the same thing, right? We're believing in that. We're putting that out there. But, you know, one of the things that struck such a deep chord with me was when he was saying, you know, what's all this worth? What's it all for if you can't share it with anybody?
Absolutely.
And he has, you know, his partner, he has a few close friends, but that's it. He doesn't really have a lot of extended family or even family that's still alive on this planet that he can share that with. And that kind of struck a really sensitive chord in me, because I thought, you know, success is great. To be able to feel all the profits of your hard work and all the fruits of your labor, that is a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
But do you want to do that by yourself?
No.
Why? Why would anyone want to do that by yourself?
So
you know, my every time I get this thought of like, what am I going to do? Like, if something goes well, or if I start, you know, being prosperous in something, what do I want to do? I want to share it with my friends.
Yeah, you want to like take your friends with you.
Yeah,
like,
you want to pay for their McDonald's.
Yeah, truly.
Start there.
I got it. And you'll pay for their Gucci's.
Yeah, right. but it's that's and I started thinking, you know, he had mentioned that some of his friends and some of his family used when he got super successful and used it against him and started expecting that, you know, he would come through and pay for their stuff and they would buy him things and all this drama. And I thought, I couldn't relate.
Right.
Like, literally
yeah,
can't relate.
I can't relate.
But what I was thinking, I put myself in this position. I thought, you know, imagine I experience major success, what I'm doing right now. And Stella was there for me the whole time. And imagine at the end of it, she started getting a little entitled and then flipped the script and then started stealing from me or telling me that I was a bad person because I didn't do something that she expected.
Oh,
I would be devastated.
Wouldn't you? Oh my gosh. I don't even know what I would do. I'd be so like, I don't know.
He said he had his heart broken hundreds of times.
And like you felt it.
And that's when I was...
Me too. Yeah. When he was like my own family like has sold me out. And I'm like,
yeah.
And that's like crazy.
Taking compromising photos, trying to sell them to...
To tabloids.
Tabloids, news articles, news publications. Like, if I couldn't even relate to it, and because I'm honestly I can't fathom my family doing something
like that.
Yeah. Also, they're so far away, like removed back in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth are they going to do?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I know that they're supportive, and I have a very you know loyal family. But I think about that with friends a lot because you know we also come from an industry. Let's segue into Disney here.
Yeah.
We both come from an entertainment background.
Yep.
And we know what it's like to work with a bunch of people that are really out to protect themselves.
Oh my gosh,
and they
can
do very interesting things when they feel personally threatened in a professional environment. And it becomes very solitary, that world. When you see a lot of actors complaining about like, you know, oh, you know, it's not all what you think it is, more money, more problems, more...
Yeah.
It truly can be that way, knowing that from the grassroots, we can see those behaviors and how perpetuated they must be at that level.
At that level, For somebody who's already like that, and then they get all the success, it's like, well, okay, like, have fun.
It doesn't take a lot to tip you over the edge, I reckon.
Truly.
Because what, I mean, what have you got at the core of what you're doing?
Yeah.
You just, if you don't trust yourself, if you don't trust the people around you, if you... You know,
gosh,
that's a terrible place to be. So
happy I'm not there.
Let's not talk about not our reality.
Yeah.
Let's go into... So I guess encouraging your friends, our advice would be grab someone that really does know you.
Yeah, and somebody also that isn't like... They don't ever come from like a judgmental like place. I feel like I can literally tell Steve and James like anything, even if it's like the average person be like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh no, like we get it. And then like they give really good advice. And then they're like, and if you decide like not to take our advice, like it's not a big deal. Like, you know, we're just here just to like,
I've never felt like you were trying to, you know, be hurtful in anything.
Yeah.
Because I know that Stella only wants us to be happy so that we can all be happy together.
Yeah, truly.
And, we only want success for each other so that I can mooch off your success.
Honestly,
please
like,
and
same.
Thank you.
Same. Literally, I feel like I have this, like, pact with James. I'm like, okay, so whoever gets, like, rich and famous first, like, I'll buy you a house. Like, you buy me
you
one.
You buy me one.
Like, we
Gucci
have this.
Gucci slides. We're already at the nugget phase. At
we're
this
past
point,
the chicken, we're at chicken nuggets right now.
At this point, we're chicken nugget cheeseburgers and coffees. Like, one of us will provide that for each other without expecting to pay it back.
Exactly.
That's where we're at.
That's the life I'm totally
I'm all about it.
I can support that right now.
So segue into be a good friend and make sure that your intention is to build that person up.
Yeah.
Not to if you start getting jealous, even
jealousy,
tell the friend that.
Yeah, it's so hard to deal with like jealousy. Like I personally like I really don't ever get jealous. I always am just like, wow, that would be cool to have, but I'm really happy they have that. You know, like I'm never like, oh, how can I tear them down? Like, you know, like no.
Well, because you know that it you know, their failure doesn't equal your success.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Your opportunities will come to you as they're supposed to come
shirt.
To you.
Merch coming soon.
Merch. So let's go to Disney. We both from the entertainment industry. I think I want to make this relative to a question that we also got asked about the fear of walking into a makeup store without makeup on and why it seems so intimidating to go into a makeup store. Now, I personally don't experience that because I don't wear makeup, but I do know what it's like to fear the customer service experience I'm about to get.
Yeah.
And that comes back to a place where we were both trained in customer service by a global brand that is known for having the best customer service.
Truly. Like, if Disney taught me anything, it was just to be, like, the best, like, at customer service and, like, always have an answer and just, like, you're constantly on your toes. Like, there would be times where we were at capacity for the park and it was 100 degrees outside and like Mickey Mouse is only out for 20 minutes. And we literally had to tell people, like, while keeping them immersed in this story, like, I can't just be like, Mickey's hot, needs water, gotta go. You know, you had to be like, hey, like, Mickey's gotta get ready for the parade and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you can meet him at this time. And like, you're just like giving options. And I just feel like I'm so grateful for Disney for that, because it gave me that, because now when people come into a store and like it's at such a lower level now, it's like, oh, we don't have their favorite lipstick or their foundation or whatever, and I can give them options. But I feel like I have experienced that when I've walked into any, honestly, like any store, you can just tell when the people don't have customer service like skills, like, or training.
Yeah.
And I think that's why.
And that puts
why
you on edge when you're going in there to look for some, you know, beauty transformation.
Exactly. Because in the beauty world and just like doing people's makeup in general is such a personal thing. Like I am up in your face. Like I always say, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm breathing on you. Like, you know, I'm trying to like get your wing liner perfect. But like, it's such a personal experience and you really have to like be comfortable like walking in there. And I used to not be comfortable walking into any type of makeup store without any makeup on, because I'm like, well, if I don't have any makeup on, they're going to think I don't know what I'm doing, or that I'm like a troll, or like I'm gross, you know. But now that it's like flipped and I'm in that position where like I'm, you know, selling these people makeup, and I've had women say that before, they're like, oh my God, I always feel so gross. I'm like, oh my God, no. I was like, if anything, like, I want you to come in here without makeup on so we can like color match you perfectly, so I can get a good read on your skin type and your skin tone. Like, if anything, it helps me. But I totally get that, like, walking in and you're like, I am so nervous, like, that these girls are going to be mean to me. And oftentimes I think that they are mean because they just don't have like the proper training, or they're just like not happy with themselves. Like, truly.
Look,
like,
I mean, I didn't even realize from you telling me about the experience. It's something never clicked in me that, you know, Ulta, Sephora, MAC, any kind of makeup store is still run in a corporate environment. Mm-hmm. So you also have to take into account that a lot of people in there are trying to meet sales goals. A lot of people in there are, you know, they're only on a restricted time frame, or they're coming in as freelance and maybe they're not fully trained in the store just yet. Mm-hmm. It's not to excuse any type of bad behavior at all.
No.
But sometimes I think, you know, I can't personally say because I don't get my makeover done in there. I don't buy makeup. But sometimes I think, you know, if you walk in there realizing that they have a very specific job to do, and sometimes what's asked of them isn't necessarily built to give you the greatest customer service experience, maybe that might take the edge off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think you can still get it.
Yeah.
I think there will always be someone there. There will always be a bunch of people there that truly would love to help you. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it with Stella as well. Like, my mum didn't really, you know, I don't think she's ever really comfortable having her makeup done.
Yeah.
I think she enjoyed the experience. I think she loved it because she bought everything.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. I literally texted James. I'm like, she didn't need to buy all those things. What the heck, James? Like,
no, I was like, she really loved herself.
She just really liked everything you used. And I was like, oh my goodness, I wasn't even trying to finesse her. Like, I wasn't like, I was like, yeah, you need this. I was like, just, you know, whatever you want. Like, if you bought one thing, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But, like, she literally was just like, I'll take the lot.
Yeah. It was, so I think I can understand the apprehension to walk in.
Gosh,
because
yeah.
it's intimate. It's your face.
Oh my gosh,
it's there. You feel it very on display, very on show. And
yeah.
I think you should expect to have someone care for you in that situation. Because it is, you know, speaking from Stella, from the horse's mouth, it's an intimate experience.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, it's crazy. Like,
you also, like, you know, like I was taught, when we give that customer service experience, it's from the minute we lock eyes, if not before you even walk in the store.
Oh, yeah.
And you are giving the service that you would love to receive.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Truly.
If I want someone to take care of me, make me feel comfortable, make me feel helped, appreciated, then I'm going to have to do that in that reverse position.
Truly.
So I think that's why you're so great at it. And you could probably sell me a lipstick I don't need.
But. Yeah. but I think that's, like, also part of it, too, is, like, my approach is, like, what do I hate what people do, like, when I walk into a store? Mm. Like, I hate when they hover around me. I hate when I'm, like, oh, like, I'm, like, sometimes I go in, like, not wanting to buy anything. Like, I truly just want to look.
Mm.
And so, like, I feel like if I treat people kind of like that, like, hey, like, yeah, I know you're just looking, but, like, if you do want something, like, just let me know and, like, I'll, you know, get it for you, you know? And that's, like, some, most of the time, that's all I need to hear. I need them to be like, oh, hey, like, how's it going? Like, let me know if you need anything. And that's it.
Is that exhausting to gauge everyone's comfort level all day long?
Yeah. It's, like, it's really tough. And, like, in our, like, some of our MAC training, like, they, it's, like, no secret, but they did, like, this study where people are, like, more likely to purchase something or, you know, just to, like, have a good time. Like, if you greet them within 14 or 15 seconds within walking into a store.
Really?
If you greet them within that, like, 1 second to 15 second window or whatever, that, like, they're more inclined to, like, purchase, which is, like, super odd. And, like, a lot of people, when they're like, oh, why didn't you buy anything? Like, they're like, oh, because nobody greeted me as soon as I walked in. So that's why, like, yeah, it's, like, a study that they did. And, like, I think they've adapted it into, like, a lot of retail jobs and stuff, because now I went to the mall and like right when I walked into the clothing store, there was like somebody like there, like, hey, like, how's it going, you know?
Mm.
That's so funny.
Swooped
that, like,
in.
Yeah, they truly did. I'm like, oh, I'm great, thanks.
I every time I go in, I'm a bit like you too. Mm-hmm. I'll go into a store and I'm just happy browsing.
Yeah, like, I'm just looking, like, because then, yeah, I don't want them to be like, oh, are you gonna buy something? Like,
yeah,
you know, because then I know that feeling where, like, somebody, like, puts that out there, like, oh, I'm gonna buy something, and then, like, thinking from the point of, like, at the end of the day, like, I do, like, I obviously, like, love doing makeup and I love, you know, I love where I work, but there are expectations. Like, you have to meet a sales goal. I mm-hmm. have to sell X amount of money or whatever in, you know, my shift. So there is, like, that part of the job where you're like, oh, are they going to buy something? Are they not? Should I leave them alone? Like,
yeah,
that's, like, where it's hard to gauge. But honestly, like, I just make sure that I smile, because I think people are so receptive to, like, when you're smiling and bubbly and in a good mood. You
yeah,
know,
even if you're not.
Yeah, that's what we learned from Disney, too. You learn that, like, and it's so true that, like, I mean...
That's hard, though, because yeah. I feel like a lot of people see that as dishonest, but I think coming from what we understand, mm-hmm. it's that when I, you know, coming from my experience, when yeah. I'm giving you not just the Patreon experience, but a YouTube or an Instagram or a Facebook or an Etsy experience, I want you to know that I'm here to serve, mm-hmm. and because you've, you know, invested either your time yeah. or your money... into that, I want to make sure that your experience is handled professionally and is handled, you know, peacefully and happily.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to let anyone know the inner workings.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, it's weird to say, but I do actually base a lot of my business practices and my understanding about companies off of Disney.
Same.
And so, because I see the success of it, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a great model, you know.
Super good.
To look at. Mm-hmm. So when I think about that, it's hard to reconcile, because I know some people really want to know how you're doing personally. And I mm-hmm. think this Patreon experience has been interesting, because
yeah.
I have opened up a little bit personally on here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always super challenging for me.
Oh my God, it's scary, because you're like, oh, this is the real me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, y'all know
yeah.
me. But
I don't
like...
want anyone to take what I'm saying and like flip the script and tell me, well, you said that and now mm-hmm. I know that all of this is fake. Like, it's never
yeah,
that.
No,
I think my objective is just to always put out the very best of what
yeah.
I have to offer in whatever capacity I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I see that's what Disney does.
Well, yeah. And it's like there is a business side of it. You know what I mean? Like,
mm.
if you let your personal life kind of bleed into like your business, or even like at Disney, like when I had like gotten news that a really close friend of mine had passed away, like I had to like perform a show and just like smile and pretend that like I wasn't like just truly devastated.
Mm.
And then like, and you just kind of like learn to do that at Disney, where like, it may not be like the best way to like,
you well, know, you weren't like forced like best... to do the show.
No,
yeah,
like, we just, like, but
still
we just did it, you know,
it, yeah.
it, like, I had found out, and I was like, okay, like, no one knows yet, I'll just get through the show, and then afterwards, it was just, like, this big old, like, crazy thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you just kind of, like, learn, but the thing is like, I didn't want to, like, be crying on stage and then, like, have these people, like, what's going on? Like, you know, like, you're so immersed in that, like, that Disney thing, and, like, you never want to let your personal life, like, truly, like, crush like anybody's
yeah.
like vacation or
well, it's, it
whatever,
speaks to
you
how
know?
Dedicated you are that
mm-hmm.
you understand what you're offering and you
yeah.
believe it so much that you would self-sacrifice a little
mm-hmm.
bit to make sure that other people. It's very Japanese of you.
I know. Thank you.
I think it's because you value what you're offering so passionately that you can set yourself aside. Mm-hmm. And I think setting yourself aside is, you can't do it always, because then you're not caring for yourself.
Oh, truly.
But there is truly virtue in making sure that, you know, that there is a time and a place where you take care of your own personal stuff, and then the rest, you still give what you have to give.
Exactly, yeah.
It's very noble.
There's times you go into work and I'm like, I just don't want to be here today. Like, but then you like help somebody and they like love everything and you're like, oh, that's why I came into work. Like, they're like, yes, that's why I'm here today.
I'll get a tagged post on Instagram with some, you know, some nice words or something, and I just think, oh, okay,
thank you.
I'll start my day now.
Right? Like, and that's all you, like, I don't know, it's so weird. Like, I think that's like, I feel like you and I talk about like love language a lot, and like that's mine, is like the words of affirmation, is like somebody being like, hey, good job, and like them actually meaning it. That like means so much to me. Even when people like comment like stuff like on Instagram and they're like, oh, you're so perfect, oh, you're so beautiful, I'm like, oh, thank you, I really needed to hear that.
But I mean, you must take a lot of pride in making people feel beautiful. That's, not only look beautiful, but feel beautiful.
I think that's like the best part of the job. And I think like there's always like the best part, like for me the best part about Disney was like hugging babies, like, or just like the guest interactions, like, you know, they were just always like super great, and like just like
seeing
how people felt, and like smiles, like, you know, like doing shows, and like that was always like so fun. Like, that's it was just like the best part of it. And that's like,
I think that's why I go in there to people watch, because everyone's just so happy,
they're
in there.
So stoked to be there. And like, feel like you have to kind of take that, like, what, in whatever job you do, like there's got to be something of your job that's like, wow, this is really cool, like what I do. And like, say now at Mac, it's like the transformation, I love that. I love turning the chair around and the people are like, oh, I've never looked like this before. Or like, even like when I do bridal makeup, they're like, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, that's like the coolest like part. That's what like keeps you going. When someone likes it.
So I think we have one more question here that we'll hit on before we get way too sidetracked.
I know.
But I think the point of that part of conversation was that as far as feeling insecure and walking in, that's a natural. And I think most people identify with that. Stella, as a professional makeup artist, still identifies with that feeling.
Truly.
So you're not alone in that. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, if you can find someone that has that twinkle in their eye,
somebody will be good to you, I promise. If not, call me.
And don't be afraid to say, hey, look, I'm looking for a really comfortable customer service experience. There's nothing wrong with approaching someone and saying, hey, I'm really uncomfortable in this setting. Could you please take care of me? Most people will respond to that.
I have people do that all the time. They're like, I'm a little uncomfortable because I have no makeup on. I'm like, oh my god, don't worry about it. You know, like, even if you just say that, when people say that to me, I'm like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Like,
even as a customer, I will sometimes tell sales assistants, like, oh, I'm not looking to buy anything, just so they know not to waste time on me if they have sales.
Oh my god,
goals.
Yeah, I'm like that too. I'm like, it's okay, like, I just want to look, like, maybe I'll grab a sample, but like, please, like, help anybody else before me.
Do not rely on me. So we've got another question here. Skins and undertones. I think the question was, there's a parallel between painting your face and drawing a face. I feel like the most obvious would be the fact that we're, you know, laying color on a blank canvas, and pigments, you know, it's all about pigments. It's all about the application and the product. And there's, you know, 12 billion different makeup supplies that you could use, and, you know, 9 billion art supplies you could use. So you were always spoiled for choice. But one of the interesting things was, how do you choose, or how do you get the most realistic effects for undertones and for highlights and shadows and building color stories? Now, from an artist's perspective, I'm just gonna say that the best technique I ever learned was to watch a makeup artist, because it's hard to say, you know, like, what are you asking, you know, for darker skin tones, because there's always a base. There's like a blue base or a red base or a yellow base,
pink,
or, you know, there's always an undertone, and whatever medium you use, you know, it might not be transparent. So it's not good enough to say, hey, start with pink and then put brown on top. But if you watch makeup tutorials on YouTube, they will show you exactly where to put the contour or your shadow colors. They will show you exactly where to put your highlight for a certain look, and they'll even give you a color story or specifically an eye shape. They'll even tell you, like, round this off here or cut this crease in here, make it a sharp line. Honestly, I have just replicated so many YouTube makeup tutorials when I'm struggling with putting a face together, because
that's crazy.
They're mapping it out and they're chatting you through the process, and they're also giving you the colors and they're giving you the tips. So you, as a makeup artist, do you think that stands up? Do you think that's true?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I totally think that.
One of the biggest things that I learned, actually, because I'd been doing darker skin tones for a bit, mm-hmm. and I was never really truly happy with the look of the skin. I felt it was always mm-hmm. a bit flat, and it just never looked vibrant. And I was watching a YouTube tutorial, and she used banana powder.
Yeah.
And I was like, mm-hmm. ugh. Yellow. My issue the mm-hmm. whole time has been that I've been trying to highlight with white, which makes it a little bit ashy. I should have been highlighting with yellow.
Mm-hmm. And it's
honestly
so,
game changer.
It really is. Yeah. And that's like been like the coolest part about like working at MAC is like learning color theory and like color story and like you know, we even bust out our color wheel to like to color correct. You know, we have clients come in with like a birthmark or like a really like, you know, hyperpigmentation or even tattoos. Mm. And like, so like, for example, for tattoos, like we have to color correct it with orange. You need to put orange on top of it to like,
right. And if you,
and then you add the yellow, it neutralizes it. And then you add, you know, the complementary, like, you know, foundation color.
Yeah.
I literally was teaching this woman last night because she had like hyperpigmentation or just like dark spots like on her under eye, and she goes, when I put my makeup on, you can see like my black like moles like poking through. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, so this is what you have to do, because she kept putting a lighter shade on top thinking that it was going to cancel it out. And I was like, no, it's only going to like actually like emphasize it, because you're just putting a light, like how you were saying, like just putting white on top of,
right, you know, the like, contrast was even greater.
And so I showed her like on my own, I have a wrist tattoo, and I literally like, I put the orange on there, and then I like put the foundation on there, and she goes, oh my gosh, that's like magic. And I was like, I know, right? And so then we went into this whole, and like that's like a whole nother, like that's like pro level to me, is like color correcting and covering tattoos, like, which, you know, like I've had to do like at, you know, previous employers, like you can't have visible tattoos, and like I had to like learn how to color correct.
If you've ever seen a drag queen put on makeup, for men we have, you know, stubble when we shave, and it looks green, honestly. Mm-hmm. The color is kind of green, so you put on it's like green or blue. It's that cast. It's a very cool cast. Mm-hmm. So to neutralize a color, like in paint, we would add the opposite on the color wheel. The same thing happens in makeup. If you want to neutralize that color, you would put, you see a lot of drag queens put orange all over their beard before they put the foundation on.
Yeah, they have to do that, or else it's going to look so bad.
Yeah, so there's no like green cast underneath the foundation.
Yeah.
So honestly, watching YouTube tutorials has been life-saving when it comes
for
to
you. That's so cool.
Piecing it together.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Also, just to get fun looks, because if you're looking to do something specific, go and watch even with fashion as well, watch a Harajuku street style video and see if you can't pull some inspiration from there. I mean, basically, you'd just be sketch flicksing your way through through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so great to pull inspiration from that, because I can't tell you everything. I would love to be able to, but some people dedicate their whole lives and careers, like Stella, to really being knowledgeable in those areas, and you're not going to get that information presented better to you than from a professional.
Yeah.
And so if, you know, faces, I can tell you what techniques might help with blending, or I could tell you, what products I like to use, which I've, you know, they're all mentioned through videos before, but for actually getting, you know, something like a skin tone or an undertone, that I feel like you can't go wrong with just watching. If you've got someone that's on YouTube that you think has beautiful makeup all the time, watch them.
Yeah.
See what they do.
There's so many tricks. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think
most of them apply to drawing.
I'm sure. Like,
you draw your eyebrows on.
I do. And you know what's so funny is I was telling James, I was like, I think the fact that I can't draw sometimes like hinders like my ability. Like, and I was like, I need to take one of your classes. But like,
we'll have an eyebrow drawing class.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Typically I can manage, like I sometimes, you know, like makeup is obviously like, I feel like it's like easier than drawing. You know what I mean? Because like with drawing, like you just start from a blank canvas. Like if I'm doing somebody's makeup, like the outline of their brows is already kind of there. So it's like I'm like tracing what's like already there.
But, see, I see it opposite. I see that with drawing, I can do whatever I want. With you having to go in on a face that's already there, you have to work with what you're given. Mm-hmm. That's collaborative.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
I find that very difficult. Like you can't change someone's eye socket.
Yeah.
You have to work with what's there.
Even if they think you can. Yeah. I'm like, I swear to you, I am skilled, but not that skilled.
Yeah.
I cannot, I can shade and shape a little bit, but I can't fully change like your appearance, like fully.
Makeup is very powerful, but some things just cannot be changed with makeup.
People have super high expectation. That's like some of the funny stories I have is just like, they're like, oh, like they'll bring in a picture and then of somebody's makeup that is like beautiful, but like clearly photoshopped. And then you have to like explain to them, like, just so you know, like, this person's eyelid is, like, 4 times bigger than yours. Like, this photo is heavily photo edited, you know. It's like, this person doesn't really look like this. And they're just, like, always shook when you tell them. And I'm like, I promise, like, there's nothing wrong with your eye. Like, it just doesn't look like this eye.
I honestly blame Kylie Jenner for all of that.
Oh, I know.
Girls coming in with no lips, just trying to walk out like clowns.
They're like, I just want to have, like, Kylie Jenner lips. I'm like, you know that she didn't...
She doesn't have Kylie Jenner lips.
She doesn't have those lips either. She had to go get them. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, like, you're gonna have to go get it.
Yeah, this was an interior fix, not an exterior one. Look, we have all the jokes, and all jokes aside, you do a fantastic job, and I'm so proud of you
for really
taking something that you're so passionate about and just making it happen for yourself. That is the inspiration that I feed off of daily, not just with you, but like with anybody else that does that type of stuff. It's so motivational.
Mm-hmm. It truly is. Or just to see like people that are like super successful now, and then like when you hear about their stories, you're like, oh my gosh, like they were like in maybe a worse position, like, I don't like to compare, but, like, maybe in a worse position that I've been in, you know, like, they have, like, no money and nothing and no house and nothing, and, like, now they're just, like, millionaires, like, just because they, like, believed in themselves.
Yeah.
Which is, like, crazy to me, so I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. We can do it.
We can do anything!
As we say to a podcast.
I know, right?
In Patreon. No, but I truly believe it. You have to believe in yourself if no one else is going to believe in you, but we are lucky that we do believe in each other. We'll keep feeding that with each other, and I want to thank you all for listening. If any of that was helpful to you, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And if you just wanted to listen to the banter, then you could thank Stella for accidentally popping over today.
Truly, yeah. I was like, can I come over? And he's like, only if you do a podcast. Just kidding. I was like, wait, yeah.
No, I said, do a podcast and bring me coffee.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, let's do it. Like, that's so, like, so cool that people, like, even listen to this. So thanks. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for your ears. We're going to wrap all of that up. And thank you again for listening. If you're curious to check out any of Stella's links, I'll leave them in the description box of this post. Mm-hmm. And until next time, have a great couple of weeks.
Yay!
Bye!